All right, let's get right into it. How many brought your Bibles? Let me see all the Bibles. Hold your Bible up. Gretchen? There's your phone. You're like, don't get this. Amen. All right. I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And go to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, obviously, in a few days, we're going to be jumping into a new year. And that's what I want to deal with this morning. Because, and I just declare this over everybody here and watching, that in 2020, it's going to be the year of big. You agree with that? I mean, big things are going to happen in your life. Now, if you don't receive that, then probably nothing's going to happen. It's just going to be the same old thing. You're going to do the same old thing. But if you believe in big, then I believe things are going to be bigger in your life. I'm talking about more anointing. The anointing of Jesus Christ, the anointed one's going to flow more in your life in 2020 if you would just believe to receive. I mean, I'm talking whatever you believe, it's going to be bigger in 2020. And I'm talking things that you might think are small to things that are great. More abundance, in other words. You know, that's what John 10:10 talks about, that Jesus came that we might have life and more abundant life. Not just the same old, not just more attacks, trials, and tribulations. No, I'm talking about, man, seeing some things. When you lay hands on someone, as Mark 16 says, when you are believing God for His report instead of the report of what someone else says to you, like you're no good, or the doctor says you only got a short time to live. I mean, I see it all as a minister. Well, I want to believe the report of the Lord that says by His stripes we're healed. And then all you got to do is just believe for the manifestation of healing. Instead of believing their old report of, well, you know, it's just God's will that you're in your situation. No, we probably understand that that's just a lie from the enemy, trying to keep you oppressed and down, instead of you understanding that you are more than a conqueror through Christ because He loves you. See, I believe there in 2020 we're going to see more. Bigger things. Not that we're just searching out bigger things, but I mean, why stay in one state? Why stay right here? Why don't we go on up? We're going to do a conference that I'm in charge of, ministers' conference, and they've last year, I guess, they put me in as the president of the Cowboy Ministers Network, and that's a network of a lot of ministers, and that's going to be a big part of what we talk about, that we're going to move on up. Let's go on up from glory to glory. There's enough churches that are dying. Why don't we have a church that continues to see the revival happen? Why don't we see revival in Liberty Hill like they've been praying for years and years? Why don't we see that tent get revived up so that people get saved, healed, delivered, and set free to the glory of God? Come on. Because it's going to take all of us believing, no, I don't want to stay this way. I want to get higher. I want to see some things happen in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I, brethren, verse 1, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except or save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech, oh Jesus. I mean, I have a mother-in-law. That corrects my speech a lot. So here, there's going to be an opportunity for you to try to correct my speech. I mean, there may be some weird phrasings, but it's going to all come out where you're going to understand it. Say amen to that. Here the Apostle Paul, though, is saying, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Say amen to that. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I believe it's time that we as Christians don't just come and hear a good message on Sunday, but man, it's demonstrated through the whole week in our lives when we are discerning things that are going on around us, that man, we begin to discern things like, hey, when the Spirit of God says, hey, pray for that one. Well, yeah, but sir, I don't know them. Yeah, but that's not what I said. I said, go pray for them. And then being bold enough to say, hey, I don't know what's going on in your life, but the Spirit of God just wants me to pray. And you know your flesh is acting up because you're in Walmart. That's where all the crazies go anyway. That's what they say. No, just doing what the Spirit of God says, because the Bible says if you are born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, then we're to be led by His Spirit. Some come to church and maybe you don't know a lot of the Bible. Well, how about learning some though? How about knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, so that when the devil tries to steal, kill, and destroy you, you're able to withstand that enemy. The fiery darts that are coming at every angle, you'll be able to withstand them because of the power of the Spirit of God that's living on the inside of you. You'll be able to tell that devil, regardless of what you did in your past, that he's to get under your feet in Jesus' name. You'll start using the power of that name, Jesus. I was so thrilled over our New Year's service. We had hardly never done one. Howdy said we had done one years ago, but I didn't even remember it. And 20 people gave their lives to Jesus at the Christmas Eve service. I mean, all these sections were full. I was just hoping we'd get this section full for who was watching live on TV or whatever. And then all of a sudden that was full, and there was a few people over here, but not very many. But thank God someone showed up. Because I figured that when you preach the Word of God, they're going to come. So why would we be interested in a bunch of gimmicks and games to draw people in? Don't you think the Word of God with its power is enough to entice and bring the fold in? Maybe there's people that are just backslidden. Man, they've just been away from the Lord for a while. Well, it's time to come on home and start seeing the power. No, you don't want to be the one that has a form of God's power, or you deny it, a form of godliness and deny the power. No, you want to be the person that understands that when you say the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee you. With that authority, I'm talking about when you're under attack, you need to know that at that name, that attack cannot put you under. You see, I believe for big things in 2020. The power of God. But, I don't like that word a lot of times, but, because we need to get our butt out of the way. A lot of times, we can be limited. Flip over to your left to Psalm 78. And that's why I encourage you to bring your word, because That's your manual. And if I skip over a verse on accident, or you can go back, go over and study what you've learned, and that's what we need to do. Go to Psalm 78 and look with me at verse 40. Psalm 78, verse 40. Say amen if you're there. Oh, me if you're still looking. Okay, I'm waiting. Psalms 78. Verse 40, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and look what it says, and limited the Holy One of Israel. I don't know about you, but if you want big things to happen to you that we're declaring over ourselves in 2020, then we don't need to limit God. We need to let him do whatever he wants to in our lives. But how did they limit God? You want me to tell you? All in favor say aye. Up. Hadn't been in those churches in a long time. All opposed say nay. When we was raised in denominational churches, they would come up and if you wanted to become a member, they would come and say, these people want to join our church. All in favor say aye. All opposed. And I always wondered, is anybody going to say no? We don't want them people. They're crazy. Thank God that we don't get voted in here, you know. If you don't get voted in, you don't get voted out. Amen? How did they limit Israel? Number one, they didn't obey him. Now, flip over, it's going to be to your left again, to Numbers. And let's just look at a few things about how they don't, you know, obey God. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Look at verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times... I have not hearkened to my and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely, let me read that again so you understand it. I mean, pay attention here. Because of all those men which have seen my glory, they've seen my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. There's something about obeying God, y'all. Now, I understand that we live in grace and we live in mercy and we live in forgiveness, and there's times when we just flat miss the Lord. I'm okay with that. But one thing that I don't agree with is when we use the excuse of the scripture that says we all fall short of the glory of God. I think we use that as an excuse too much. Where, you know, we all sin. It's just part of us. We just sin. And before we know it, that's all we're saying as well. You know, we just sin, and that's all we do then is sin. And fall short of the glory of God, and then thank God for his grace and mercy. And I do. Trust me, I remember college. It was wild because the party was at my house. Y'all all know that, right? Does anybody know? Was anybody there? 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas. Everybody knew that house because the 2 or 3 years in junior college there and rodeoing, man. And the weird part about it, it's a shame, really, is the first year of college until right at the end of the second semester, I had Bible study. All those kids, when they'd have trouble with their girlfriends, and we lived, you know, in the dorms, just men's dorm, here they came. Man, I need to talk to you. Still happens in professional rodeo now where everybody knows me. They don't, thank God, they don't run from me. Here they come. Now, they may do this. I need to talk to you. A lot of times that when we had the motor home, they would come and knock and look around, hey, I need to talk to you. And I said, come on in, man. And they'd just spill the beans. And man, I'd love on them and try to edify them and build them up. I didn't ever understood why anybody would want to put them down. Why don't we just build each other up? Amen. And so, but then a little heartbreak happened in my life, and a stinking girl. And I missed a week of school, went back to the ranch, and mom and dad loved on me for a week. Went back to school, and there were some of my buddies and said, hey, come on, you got to get up. Come with me. And I had a decision to make. I could either go down the road of what mom and dad had trained me up in, the ways of the Lord, or I could go this way, the way of sin. And as most of you know, 2 years I went this way, sin. And again, the party was at my house. I knew better. I mean, there was always God never left me. You know, we always pray at the end of the service how God, he gets to go with us because the Bible says he never leaves us or forsakes us. He was always there. He just waiting. Come on, boy. Come on. Repent. But for 2 years, I didn't. And again, the party was at my house. Man. But one day, everybody say one day. One day, I got on my knees and I said, God, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I know better. Of course, the enemy tried to put a bunch of guilt and condemnation on me. Ah, you having Bible study one day and now look at you. But here's the greatest thing about our God, and the reason that I want to see big things happen in my life and in this church and in your lives in 2020 is because when I said, God, forgive me, he grabbed my sin and threw my sin into the sea of forgetfulness. He don't even remember it anymore. But boy, my friends did. I mean, my friends did. Matter of fact, I've told this before, but a guy I started ministering right after that, maybe a year or two later, I knew there was a call on my life. I knew I was supposed to minister. I had a love to tell people about Jesus. And I'll never forget doing a bunch of church ropings. They got really, really big. Great spiritual friend of mine, Rusty Feltz, started He Paid Your Fees years and years ago. And I started doing ropings. We've done a bunch here at Smiling V where we started this church, where all you had to do is come to church and that was your entry fee. And we had gathered $5,000-$10,000 to give away to those contestants for free. Well, you know, they came from everywhere. And I was doing one in Lubbock, and there were so many people, hundreds and hundreds of people in the stands, that I preached on horseback. Some of you probably saw me. I had to do the same thing here. There's just so many people that would come in those years that I was on horseback, and you know, I had a microphone, and tons of people got saved. About 200 got saved, and I had them all come out in the middle of the arena and just surround my horse. And that happened over and over everywhere I went, New Mexico and Las Vegas, New Mexico. I mean, they surrounded. I was like, oh, Jesus, if my horse, it gets a little bit wild, these people are dead, and then I'm going to have to raise them from the dead. And they just got saved so they'd go to heaven, but it just takes a lot of time to do all that stuff, you know. But we was in Lubbock. We just finished the service and was about to start the roping. We was given a horse trailer away that I had donated or got paid for. And here comes one of my friends that was with me during those 2 years. And he said, I have to ask you to forgive me. I said, what'd I do? He said, I've held a grudge against you for 7 years. 7 years. He held, because he was with me in all those 2 years of craziness and partying and wildness. And he held all that against me, but yet God didn't. He didn't even remember it, but yet everybody else did. You see, there's something about obeying God. Did I read? Where am I at? Did I read 14? Well, then let's go to the next one. Because there's something about not limiting God. Because when you listen to the voices of everybody else that remembers your sin, that's a way that we limit God, by not obeying Him. And then number two, you can limit God by grieving Him. You know, God just wants to provide, right? There's a story in Matthew chapter 17. You go there sometime, and it's talking about how God calls the fish to provide for Peter's taxes. I mean, he catches a fish, and it has a gold coin that helped pay for his and Jesus's taxes. See, there's something about obeying God and then understanding that we don't need to grieve Him. The only way we grieve Him is by not doing what He wants us to do. I just want to obey Him. But there's something about limiting Him which might cause us not to have things big in 2020. But man, there are no limits in our God. There's none. If we would just allow Him to do whatever He wants to do in our lives, submit in all the areas. Do you realize the Bible says that if you'll submit to God and resist the devil, he'll flee? There's another scripture that says if you'll submit to God, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But you don't know, it talks about submitting to Him before it talks about getting all the things added unto you or the devil fleeing from you. There's something about submitting to the Lord. So I want to build you up, and then I want to pray for the ones that want to be prayed for. Because there are two sources of limits. Number one, the ones that we place on, the ones that we place on us, and the ones that someone else places on us. Now, you're in Numbers, so back up one scripture or one chapter to 13. Numbers 13. And I want to just begin to build you up, because you don't want to be like these people, and then we'll get some really good scriptures to live on. Numbers 13, verse 1 and 2, look at what it says here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I'd underline that word saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now, let's jump to all the way to 27. And they told him and said, we come unto the land where thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But, there's that word, but the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." You know what that was? A bad confession. That was the worst thing they could have said. It's kind of like when you're believing God for your healing. I mean, you're believing God. "Father, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus of whatever's going on in my life." And then a month later say, "Well, I guess it's not God's will that he heal me." I was at the college national finals one time. Oh, man. And I was just, I preached on, God healed anybody. Matter of fact, he healed everybody that believed. Remember, all things are possible to them that believes. So if you don't believe, that's the problem, not God. He's already done everything, right? Remember where I'm at verse 31. Keep me in check here. This isn't necessarily a rabbit trail, but it kind of is. And I'm at the college finals, and I mean, the first service that we do, there's hundreds there, because that's the college national finals. It's everybody in the country, the best in the world, second best rodeo besides the national finals. And so I'm doing this service, and I think it's right before Ricky and Daryl started traveling with me, and I can't remember. It was before, because they wasn't with me at this time, I don't believe. You tell me if you remember this. And I was preaching that God wants to heal your body and not limiting the Lord. And here comes a girl, and she's ticked off. She's mad. And by this time, we're not even at the service. We're at that night at the rodeo. They see me. It's right in the hallways before you drop down to the Coliseum to be seated. And she said, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay." She was just a college girl. And she had a boy with her, a bronc rider. And she said, "I just wanted to let you know that I disagree with you." I said, "Oh, okay." You know, it's usually not what you want to receive right there in the midst of everybody, is, "I don't believe you." I said, "Okay, what's the problem?" She said, "Well, you know, you said that God would heal everybody, and my mother is in a wheelchair, and she's a woman of faith, and we believe that it was God's will that she be in that wheelchair, because she has ministered to a lot of people." And I said, "Oh, well, praise God. Number one, you can minister to anybody in the state that you're in." But I looked at her and I said, "But wouldn't you think it would be more miraculous if she got out of that wheelchair and began to walk and evangelize to a lot of more people?" Oh man, I'm talking, she was ticked off. I'll never forget being, you remember the movie Lane Frost, 8 Seconds? And the widow, which is Kelly, now Macy, is a friend of mine, and she was with me at a service we were doing one time, and I just told them, "Hey, God will heal your body." And there was one of everybody there, and all the Baptists and the Methodists were in the back standing up on their chairs looking, because they'd never seen anything like God healing someone. And so they, y'all, some of y'all have heard this story, they just lined up when I said, "Anybody want to get prayed over?" And here they come, man. But the first one was a lady in a wheelchair. And I'm thinking to myself, "Lord, why are you starting with someone in a wheelchair and not with maybe someone with a broke fingernail or something?" And I just looked at this lady as she sat there. I mean, full of faith, man. I mean, the Word of God was being preached. There wasn't a bunch of doubting and all the rigmarole that goes on in some churches, you know, just want to make you feel good for a minute. No, I want the power, praise God. I want to see, does this Bible stuff really work? Is God, if he says by his stripes we're healed, is that true? So I looked at that woman and I said, "Do you want to walk?" Now, there is 200 people in this little ag barn. And again, people are starting to stand up. They want to see, wow, what is going on here? This is crazy. I've never seen anything like this. A preacher saying, ma'am, do you want to walk? And she goes, yes, I do. I mean, that old faith was rising up in her. Well, it's not by my might. We have to believe that Jesus was the one that died for that healing, right? He's the one that took the beating for that healing. Doesn't have anything to do with me except I'm believing with her, you see. So I looked at her and I said, do you want to walk? And then the Spirit of the Lord says, hey, go and tap her legs and command them to wake up. Remember the Bible says that to speak to the mountain and command it to be cast into the sea. Whatever the mountain is in someone's life. I don't know what it is. Maybe in your life. I know what it is in my life. The mountain can be a lot of crazy things going on. Health issues, financial issues, children. You know, whatever it might be. The Bible says, though, if you'll speak to that mountain and command it to be cast into the sea and not doubt in your mind or not doubt in your heart that the things which you say will come to pass, say it with me, you'll have whatsoever you sayeth. That's the King James. So I looked at her and I said, do you want to walk? She said, yes. So the Lord said, all right, go and tap her legs and just command them to wake up. So that's what I did. I just tapped them. Leg in Jesus' name, you wake up. And I went to the next one. Wake up in Jesus' name. And then I backed up. I said, ma'am, you want to walk? She said, yes, I do. Well, then here's where faith comes in, right? I'm telling you guys, if you want to see big things happen in 2020, we need to start believing for bigger things. And I backed up and I said, all right, then get up and walk. And I backed up. She reached down and pulled up that flap and pulled. Now, her legs were this big. They were tiny, had no muscle on them. They were little bitty legs. They hadn't been walked on. No muscle. She'd been in a wheelchair a long time, and all those people knew it. I didn't. They knew her. I didn't. I said, well, then get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Boy, and she flipped those deals up, and she stood up, and her legs started doing this. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, God, she's fixing to fall, and there's a lawsuit. And I mean, I said, in Jesus' name, you walk. And I'm telling you, and the people were up out of their seats, man. Wow, this is crazy. Boy, and one step at a time, she started walking, and then they all started clapping. Why? Because she started wanting big things for her life. I'm pretty sure she was tired of being in that wheelchair. Don't you think it's a better miracle that we have bodies be mended and healed like God created in the first place, instead of accepting and limiting God and just staying where we're at? No, I don't want that. I don't want it for our church. I don't want it for my life, and I don't want it for you. I want you to see bigger things. I want your marriages restored, praise God. I want to see your finances be overcoming so that you can help a whole lot more people. I want to see your bodies be mended and healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. I don't want you to stay in the Babylonian state any longer. I want you to come on out of the wilderness times and get into that promised land, praise God. And it's going to be up to you and your belief. You're going to have to stand on scriptures that we all know. Philippians 4 and 13. Say it with me. I can do all things. Say it again. I can do all things. Say it after me. I can do all things which strengthens me. Say it again with some power behind it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I
not someone else. I can do it. I. You know who I is? I's you. I can do all things. See, when you start getting that word in you, come on, Justin. I. Where's Morris? Call him and tell him to say, I can do all things. I could do it. I mean, get that, come on, get that look like you bull riders. You know, how many of you ever rode a bull or wanted to or dreamed about it or had a nightmare about it? Let me see you. Right? Man, when you, that fear trying to come on you, but man, just that grit. You just rossing up that sum up, and you put that sucker in there. I pull. Give me some more. And I mean, and I pulled a lot of bull ropes, boy, and I'm telling you, them bull riders, they want it tight. More. I ain't got it. And you got to get help, right? They get on there more. They get that look. It would be a little weird, right? My bull riding friends, and even in the bronc riding, if they got on that bull I mean, you would think, uh-uh, get that guy off immediately, right? No, they get that look. You know, kind of like you women get sometimes. What'd you say to me? I could tell you got that. Why is he coming to me? Let me just see someone that's got that look. Mm-hmm. Right there, she got it. Look at her. Mm-hmm. You know, you women. What did you say to me? I will slap you. My mom one time. God forgive her for doing this to me. She's not here this morning. She's coming home today. So I can say this. Y'all don't tell her I said it. She said, I will beat you till the blood runs. Can you believe that? Now, she never did, but still. I was like, oh my God. No, when you get that look, though, in the name of Jesus, devil. See, that's having wanting some big things to happen to you in 2020. I can do all things through Christ. Here's one. Here's one. We'll close. Where? Okay. How about Luke chapter 18? Write this down. Verse 27. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, sir. Now move, sir, in this place. Every single person that wants to see big things happen to them in 2020. I mean, when you lay hands on someone, they're healed. I mean, you reading scripture and it comes more alive to you in this day. To see your husband or your family or your wife get more of the fire of God and come into their rightful role that God's created them to be in is going to happen if you just dare to believe. If you want that, that's who I'm talking to this morning. If you want to see finances just increase, get bigger, not where money controls you. Remember, money is not a bad thing. The love of money is the root of all evil, not money. God wants you to have it so we can get the gospel spread, so that we can get out of debt, so that we can help people that are in need.
If you are here and you're just tired of your body being sick, I'm telling you, I told Howdy, my niece and my sister-in-law are both physical therapists. My other niece has almost got her, she's going to be a doctor. She's got 3 more years. I looked at one of them. I said, man, my low back, ever since I had that herniation, and they took my blood out, spun it, put it back in, and I was roping within 1 week of that blood going back in there, boy, healing. I said, but ever since then, my back is just, it's just tight. It's just tight, man. When I rope, I have to really stretch. I'll run the arena. I get warmed up. I stretch really good. Then I'll start doing jumping jacks and push-ups and just, I mean, I'm just trying to get ready then to go out and rope and get off, tie those steers and whatever. I said, but man, my back is just, it's really tight, man. Seth, my little boy, or London, someone will have to just push me down so that I can just stretch it out a little bit more. And then after I rope, it's sore. I mean, just it's sore on this left side where the herniation was. And so my niece needles. Y'all ever heard of that? They just prick everything and cause circulation. Oh, man. I can move like nobody. I mean, I just want bigger things for me. How about you? Maybe you are having relationship problems with someone, and it's time to let them go. Or maybe you're going into a new season. I don't know what it is, but I want to pray over you right now. So if that's you, come on down, just line up right here, and we're just going to pray. It won't take very long. Just come on. Come on. As you come, I'll just pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, move bigger things. Come on. Bigger things in Jesus' name. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm not going to spit on you, throw oil on you. Bigger things. Bigger things. When I touch you, you just leave. That way I'll know I've touched you in bigger things in Jesus' name. Bigger things. Whatever it is, bigger in Jesus' name. Come on. Bigger things. Bigger things. Just believe it. When I lay hands on you, you say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Bigger things. Come on. Bigger things in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Come on, y'all. In Jesus' name. Bigger things. When I lay hands on you, then you can go sit down. Bigger things. Bigger things. Bigger things in Jesus' name. Come on. Bigger things. Y'all agree? Say it. Bigger things in 2020. Come on. Bigger things. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for supernatural things happening in this ministry. I thank you, Lord, for favor. Open doors everywhere in Jesus' name, which men cannot shut in Jesus' name. Bigger things. Bigger. Do you agree? Bigger, Cherie. Bigger things in the name of Jesus. You agree? Come on. Bigger things. Hallelujah. Now, get those hands out. Don't limit God in any way. Bigger things. Bigger things. Amen? Y'all agree? Bigger things. You just say, I receive that in the name of Jesus. Bigger. Bigger. Y'all agree? I mean, God, do it. Bigger. Whatever your desire is, bigger. Y'all have it in Jesus' name. Thank you for my knife. Thank you. I've loved it. I appreciate that a lot. That thing is sharp. That thing... whoo, Jesus. Yes, sir. Come on. Amen. Bigger knife. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll cut that devil. Amen. Bigger things this year in Jesus' name. Amen. Bigger. God wants you to have bigger. Bigger. Hallelujah. Amen. Bigger things, brother. Bigger, right? Whatever God wants to do in your life, bigger in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on now. Bigger in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I want big. I want big. Whatever it is. Come on, give God praise. Big in Jesus' name. Come on. Now it's up to you. I'm just adding my agreement to it. It's up to you to see things happen in your life in 2020. And I just give you a warning. Don't think for 1 minute the devil wants to see big things happen to you in your life. So you resist him. It's not that we all don't go through the valleys of the shadow of death, through the trials and tribulations. The key word is, say it with me, through. Get through them. How you handle things is how you get through them. If you want to build a tent right in the middle of it, you can, but don't do that. Get on through it. Say, I'm not losing my joy. That's what we talked about over our Christmas Eve service. You know, just all the busyness of Christmas and all the stuff that goes on, preparation of meals and presents and all families, and you got to get along with this one, and I don't like that one, and they're different. And you know what? If you don't lose your joy, that's how you get through the trial and tribulation. Amen. Did y'all receive it this morning? Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we receive big things in 2020. And Father, we don't have to wait until the clock strikes midnight and it becomes January 1. We're going to believe for big things now. Right now. So thank you, sir. Thank you. Now, Father, if there's anyone here at the sound of my voice that does not know you as Lord, I ask you to begin to draw their hearts to you in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you died, and I'm not speaking death on you, I speak life over you. But if you died and left this earth, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Scientists have been trying to disprove the Bible for 2,000 years, and they can't. They can't do it because it continues to come to pass to the people that believe it. So you're going to spend eternity somewhere. There's two places that the Bible talks about. All of you know it. Heaven and hell. I travel the country so that people would choose heaven and not go to a place called hell. It's terrible. It's so hot that the Bible says you'll beg forever and ever and ever for a drop of water on your tongue. Just one drop, please. But see, hell wasn't made for us. It was made for Satan and his demons that got kicked out of heaven. And all of you know, because I've said it so many times in a salvation plan at this church, is because of Adam and Eve sinning, it caused the nature of sin to come on this earth. But God took care of that. He sent Jesus. And Jesus became a sacrificial lamb. He was sacrificed for your sin. You don't have to live under that old curse of the law. You don't have to live under sin any longer. It has no dominion over you, according to Romans. But you have to make a choice. You have to either receive Jesus, which is your right to a place called heaven. That's your access, Jesus. Or you can choose to say, no, I don't want to have nothing to do with this God stuff. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll choose Jesus and make him the Lord of your life, when you stand before God and leave this earth, he'll say, come on into heaven, you good and faithful servant. Come into the joy and the rest of the Lord. Heaven's a wonderful place if you study it. But hell's there as well. Please don't choose that. If you decide to say no to Jesus, no to receive him as Lord, then when you leave this earth, you'll have to go to a place, an eternal life, in that place called hell. And I'm just presenting heaven to you this morning. But you have to pick it. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's why we're here. We're not here just to have an entertainment service. We're here to receive from the King. Is Jesus your Lord or is he not? If he's not, I want you to pray a prayer with me, but you're not going to pray it by yourself. I'm going to ask all the believers in here to pray this prayer with you. And when you pray it, we'll all pray it out loud and ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives and save us. And that's what he's doing. He's saving you from going to a place called hell, but he's also saving you and causing you to live on an earth like heaven's going to be, full of joy, full of peace, full of the blessing of God, living by this Bible. So the choice is yours this morning. Would you please choose life, though? Choose Jesus by inviting him into your life right now. I'm going to pray the prayer. You just pray it after me. And again, all of us are going to pray it. You ready? If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer and mean it right now. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you, Jesus, have been raised from the dead, and you are my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you if you did it for the first time. Just right where you're at, right, maybe you're watching, and you just asked Jesus to come into your life. What a joy. But listen to me. Don't ever be ashamed of letting people know that Jesus is your Lord. Matter of fact, the Bible says that if you'll confess Jesus before men, the Bible says Jesus will confess you before the Father. So don't ever be ashamed. So if you're here this morning in our congregation and you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, right where you're sitting, all I'm going to ask you to do is, if you prayed it for the first time, I want you to raise your hand when I say three, and then just put it right back down. And when you raise it, you're saying, God, I meant that prayer. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. That's what I want you to do with boldness. You ready? At the count of three, if that was you, get that hand up. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Glory be to God. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much. We're just going to, no one's looking around, just want to give you a Bible. About three or four, looks like. Amen. All right, look at me. Amen. All right, so listen to me. I'm telling you, it's amazing the people that get saved at this church. I mean, I'm telling you, it's amazing. But everybody knows that I pastor very evangelistic, and so, amen. Did you have a good time? Just a few announcements, and we'll go. I don't know, Denise, are you going? You want to talk about your class? Yeah, come talk about it just real fast, and then I'm going to tell you about another. Go ahead. Is this on? Is that mic on?
Okay. So some of you guys know that we teach Financial Peace University, and not everybody's here this week, but if you were in the class, would you just raise your hand real quick? Roger and Trudy and Shelley, and I know Sharon was, John was, and Betsy was, Betsy and Lance. It's a great class. Last September we started. It was the first time we had done it at this church, and I thought it went fabulous. I would love for y'all to check it out again. If any of you or you know someone, at the beginning of the year is a great time to start fresh, just like he was talking about, for, you know, the burdens that you have. And a lot of people, it's money. And if you can get rid of that, then everything else usually comes easier after that. And it's a great class, and the fact that it's not just about budgeting. It's a much, much bigger picture, and it's all biblically based, and we would love to have you there if you're interested. Just let me know. Thanks.
Yeah, so come to her and just check that out. Also, Judge Stout, where are you? She's all the way in the back already. And she's going to be doing a Bible study starting on Wednesdays on January the 15th. And she'll have a lot of information about the Bible study, because it doesn't matter if you're single, divorced, widowed, whether you're 19 or 90, you're invited. It's going to be at her house for a six-week Bible study and fellowship. And they're going to be discussing God's word on grace, hearing his voice, walking in the path that he's called us to walk to. And so it's, you know, you'll see all the information. So check that out. And then, of course, not this Tuesday, because Tuesday is our Bible study here, where me and my wife are doing 40 and under. And I mean, I'll have high school on up to around 40. I give people that are just a little bit over 40 that want to come on, it don't matter. So I give you exemptions. But then the rest stay in here and have a great Bible study. But a week from this Tuesday, I'm real excited, because Mike McCloskey, who does a lot of things with our Texas Senate, with the House, and knows a lot of these political judges and so on. That second Tuesday, a week from this Tuesday, the 7th of January, we're going to be having a Christian engagement in the political process. How many of you know it's time that Christians get involved politically, so that prayers not continue to be taken out of school? We continue to say the Pledge of Allegiance. We continue to not be pushed down as Christians. And trust me, in our country, Christians are attacked more than any other thing. I know the Jews were just attacked yesterday, or, you know, a knife-wielding suspect stabbed about five of them, and it's just over and over. But there's going to be judges, mayors, a lot of political people are going to be here. So please be a part of that, and just come. We should support it. It's for our whole town. But that's going to be on the 7th, on Tuesday, at 7 p.m. right here at Cowboy Church. Pardon me? Yeah, we'll make sure. The same deal, our children will be watched just like any other Tuesday night Bible study. And so, anyway, that's all the announcements I have. Anybody else? All right, stand to your feet. As you know, the Lord does not stay here. He never leaves us or forsakes us, so he gets to go with us. Amen? Father, thank you, Lord, for a great time as we declare that 2020 is going to be big in our lives. Individually, as a church, every area of our lives, I just confess that it's going to be big. And we thank you for that, sir. And it doesn't matter if the enemy tries to make big things in our life, he's defeated in a big way. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.